All right, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I wish you all could have seen Jessie up here laughing during that song, because every time the word fort came up, she started giggling for some reason. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 7 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Now, as you're turning, let me say this. I want to help you today. Many, many, many in this room need this sermon. Many of you that don't necessarily need it today, hold on to it, you're going to need it. It's one of these sermons that everybody will use soon or need today. So I want you to listen carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Let's read this passage responsively. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you today. Lord, we do hurt. We do have grief. We do have pain and distress, reproach and infirmity. And I pray that you'd help us today. May we glean from what you have in your word so that we could live it today and tomorrow, the next day, days, weeks, months, and yet years to come. May we get the truth today, and would you burn it deeply in our hearts, our minds, and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. It is my honor as a pastor to help carry the burdens of the people that I love most. I live in the hospitals, the emergency rooms, the funeral homes, and the land of heartache and difficult news. Now, I say that to say this. I never enjoy bad news. I never enjoy problems. But I love helping people when they have them. I mean that. I live to help people who hurt and have problems. Now, don't get all thinking I'm going to be crying all over the place today. This is a very, very positive truth for you today. God says that we can take pleasure in infirmities. I want you to notice God says in verse number 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Wow. Now, that is contrary to our flesh. The natural man does not take pleasure in infirmity. We don't volunteer to get sick. We don't volunteer to get heartache. But God says there is a way for you to take pleasure in infirmities. Now, I'm not for this charismaniac hodgepodge. Oh, bless God, I've got a problem. That's foolishness. But there is a way to take pleasure in our infirmities. God says we could also glory in those infirmities. That means this, there's got to be a way for us to do it, or God is a liar, and God's not a liar. Now, let me show you what I mean. I sat down and just looked over the last 3 or 4 weeks of my life and what has come my way. This is only a portion. It's in no way complete, but it would take a little too long to get through the list. But I've helped a lady who lost a baby. I have worked with a family whose house was burned to the ground. They lost everything. 80 and 81 years old, they lost everything they had. I've dealt with four either car or motorcycle accidents, two of which the vehicles were totaled. One was almost totaled, and one was in the hospital for a few days with a bunch of broken ribs after a deer ran into him on his motorcycle at 45 miles an hour. I've dealt with a pastor who's had a heart ailment, has had 12 heart caths, 3 open heart surgeries, and all kinds of other procedures done. I've dealt with assistant pastor whose wife has had 2 back surgeries in the last month. I've dealt with a pastor with physical pain so bad he can hardly move from day to day. I'm sorry. I have dealt with a lady who teaches in a Christian school, not in our area here, out of state. She's also a piano teacher and a coach, and they've informed her, her one hand was hurting very bad. They've informed her she's probably broken a bone in her hand and will lose about 60% of the use of her hand. She may not be able to play piano anymore. I've dealt with my dear friend, Brother Mrs. Arcola. She got news last week. She's got a tumor the size of a plum. Then she's had ear infections real bad for a couple weeks, and she went to the doctor, and they gave her drops for her ears, and it's just getting worse, not better, and they finally referred her to an ENT doctor. And as I was driving back Thursday, Brother Kevin texted me, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "the drops they gave my wife aren't working, and actually it's made it worse, and now it's kept her ears so wet that she has mold and mildew growing in her ears, and they have to go in and vacuum it out and scrape it out and vacuum it out 3 times. I have a pastor friend whose 8-year-old boy just a couple weeks ago was going to lunch, and his mom said, "Go get the peanut butter," and he couldn't find where the kitchen was. And he couldn't remember anything. And they rushed him to the hospital, and he had about a 3 or 4 hour period of time in there where he just couldn't remember anything. It wasn't just because he was being a boy. I mean, they ran test after test after test after test, and all of a sudden it just went away. You say, what is that, prayer? There's a family that, and I won't reveal who, but one of those people are here today. There's a family that one evening almost died from carbon monoxide poisoning. I talked with a lady who was just diagnosed with leukemia. I could go on and on and on. May I tell you, I don't jump up and down and praise God and say, "Glory to God, they've got problems." But can I tell you something? We can find pleasure in people's infirmities. I could go on and on, but I won't. In our flesh, we hurt. In our flesh, we mourn. And we can get discouraged. But watch this. But did you know that infirmity is a place for glory and pleasure? Infirmity is a place for glory and pleasure. God actually tells us to take pleasure in our infirmities. Now, what are infirmities? The Greek word for infirmity literally means frailty, diseases, sickness or weakness of mind or body. In other words, an infirmity is that which comes to you that makes you weak, makes you ill. It's a disease that's not going away. It's something that has come, and it's not going away without a lot of pain, agony, if it ever does go away. We all in this room either have an infirmity or know someone who does. Sin has caused every infirmity of life. sin has caused every infirmity of life. See, before there was sin, there was no breakdown or death of the body. So because all of us are sinners, we're all going to face it. I'm not saying God is judging you. If you're saved, your sin's already been cared for. You'll never be judged for your sin. But there is something called sowing and reaping, and we're going to reap. And sometimes we face somebody else's repercussions for their sin. Say, what do you mean? Some drunk driver who's out driving last night that was drunk and crossed the line and hit somebody's car. The person who got hit wasn't the problem. It was somebody else's sin that created that. Now, listen to me very carefully. God does not lie. So there's a way we can take pleasure in infirmities of life. We can go to any seat in this room today and find an infirmity. Either you have it or somebody you know that has it. May I say this? Look at me for a second. The world focuses on the pain. But they try to cover the pain. We take drugs. We get counseling to try to cover our pain. And I'm not saying that there's not times for medication. Please don't get me wrong. But it seems like anymore, well, my fingernail hurts, take this pill. My nose hurts, take that pill. I'm having problems here, take these 14 pills. And it seems like everything, the answer to everything is a pill. Well, I want to show you what God says about taking pleasure in infirmity. Again, it doesn't mean that you're going to jump up and down and clap your hands and say, oh boy, I got a bad problem. I got cancer. Wow. That's foolish. But it does mean that you can find pleasure in it. Did you know if you broke your arm, you're not going to jump up and down and praise God because you broke your arm? If you do, you're weird. But there is a way for you to find pleasure in infirmity. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. There's a whole sermon in this. Someday I'll preach, but watch this. Look at all the times Jesus told people to be of good cheer. It wasn't after they went through something. It was while they were going through something. It was not before they went through something. It was in the darkest moments Jesus said, be of good cheer. In other words, don't let the distress, don't let the infirmity get you down. Be of good cheer. I mean, the disciples were in a boat tossed in a storm thinking they were going to die. And Jesus stood up and said, be of good cheer, fellas. I could go on and on and on and on about it. It was not when things were going well or when things were over that he said that. It was in the midst of the worst of the problems, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Now, I say that to say this. It is possible to do. And I want to show you what God's formula for it is. Number one, pleasure in infirmity has to be taken. It doesn't come naturally. Folks, that Bible is the Word of God. Those are not man's words. Those are God's words. Paul did not write 2 Corinthians. God wrote 2 Corinthians. It was written thousands of years before there ever was an Apostle Paul. God chose his words very carefully. He didn't even say find pleasure. He said take pleasure. Brother Stoltz, you got your glasses in your pocket, right? Leave them there. Leave them there. I could go up and ask Brother Stoltz for his glasses. They wouldn't do me any good. And he could give them to me, but that's not me taking his glasses. God said, put them back in your pocket, that we are to take pleasure from our infirmity. I'm to reach in, grab it, no matter what the resistance is, and I'm to grab a hold of that thing. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Put them on so you can see. ain't doing you any good in your pocket. You can't see anything in there anyway. It's dark. That word take means get a hold of, means attain. It means to take away something from someone almost by force. Did you know that if you're going to find pleasure in infirmity, you're going to have to take the pleasure on purpose? It will not come on its own. Everybody doing okay? When your heart is broken, you're not going to find pleasure in the infirmity by just letting it come naturally. You're going to have to take it by force. You see, we don't take pleasure in infirmity naturally, but we can find it, we can take it by force. There's something there. You'll need to purpose yourself not to look at the infirmity, but to find the pleasure that comes with it. When I was, I was in my mid-20s, we were in South Carolina. A man in his late 20s, maybe 30 years old, had gone down the road from where we were in South Carolina a couple hours. He was up in the city of Columbia. We were down in Charleston. That's what, about 2.5 hours or so away from where we were. Young man named Jeff Jones. Jeff and his wife Janice went there to go start a church. Jeff pulled into Columbia and wasn't feeling well. He got very sick, and his wife took him to the hospital, and they found out he had leukemia. Bible college graduate. I think Jeff had 3 kids at the time, maybe 4. And I'm talking, his oldest was about that tall. They were just doot, 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 doot. Jeff started going through treatments. They didn't think he was going to make it. Jeff had lost all of his hair from the chemo and all the stuff they pumped into him. And he said, I came here to start a church. Janice said, you can't get up. You can't leave. He was in the hospital for about 4 months straight, never got out. He said, we're going to start a church. She said, Jeff, how are we going to do this? He said, we're going to start it here. He went up and down the halls of that hospital. He was winning doctors and nurses to Christ. He started a church from his hospital bed in his hospital room in Columbia, South Carolina. I don't know how many dozens and dozens of doctors and nurses and patients got saved in that little hospital room of his while he had leukemia, but he started that church in the hospital. Got a little better, got discharged, found a building to meet in, and started building a church. Less than a year later, it came back with a vengeance. My wife and I went up to see Jeff. He was literally just hours from death. You walked into a room, and in the hospital he was in, there was a little ward there, but each room had all of its own private electricity, private ventilation. It wasn't public ventilation like this, in order to keep the germs down. You walked in and they double gowned you. They double gloved you. You had to put, before they gloved you, you had to put your hands in a machine and sanitize yourself. You had to wear headgear and masks and things, and you couldn't have even coughed while you were there, or they didn't let you go in. I walked in, and I don't mean to be crude, but Jeff was so filled with poison, and the leukemia had destroyed his kidneys and his liver. His skin was about the color of the outside of an avocado. I mean, it was just nasty, dark green. His body couldn't flush the poisons out of his system. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I came to start a church. He said, I got a church going. He said, obviously God wants me home, but at least I got my work done. I got it started. He said, will you help take care of my wife, my children? You see to it that they're cared for? I said, I will, Jeff. Within hours, Jeff was in heaven. after the funeral. Matter of fact, the day he died, it was before the funeral. My wife and I were back up there. I was sitting in their living room. Their little boy, he was all boy, let me tell you. He was a boy on steroids. I mean, I think he had 9 arms and 12 feet. And he was everywhere. We were playing a little bit of ball in the house, and my wife and I were talking to Mama, and I'm trying to throw the ball far enough to keep him away so we can talk a little longer, you know. He come back up, and he jumped up on my lap. He grabbed a hold of my face and said, "Brother Bush." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "My daddy's in heaven, isn't able to come back. Can you be my daddy today?" I put my hands on his little shoulder. I said, "No, sir. I can't be your daddy. I can play with you today, but nobody could be your daddy. But I'll take his place today and be honored to." And we went out and played ball for a while. Janice eventually moved to another state, and God put her with another man that adopted all of her children and stuff, and they're a combined family now, doing very well in the ministry. Can I tell you something? People got saved through Jeff's infirmity. He looked at me on his deathbed and said, "Brother Bush, look at all these doctors and nurses that got saved. Look how God's used all this." He said, "If just one got saved, it's worth it. But man, look what God's doing." He said, "Going to heaven's nothing." He said, "Starting a church is not easy, but going to heaven's nothing." He said, "I don't have to do nothing for that." I thought, man, there's a young man who literally gave his life but found pleasure in the infirmity. God only gives heavy loads to those who can handle it and be strong enough to endure the load. Say, I've just got such a heavy load. Good for you. That means God thinks you're strong enough to handle it. God said that he would not put more on you than you can handle. God said that he would never give you more than he'll help you with. Can I tell you something? The heavier the load, God's trying to make me stronger. You lift more weight and you're able to get it and sustain it. God's making you stronger through that, and you can find pleasure in that. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to do it on purpose. Number two, God says, glory in infirmity, don't complain about it. I want you to notice verse number 9. God said, and he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Can I tell you something? You are supposed to glory in that infirmity, not complain about it. Everybody doing all right? This isn't easy. This isn't something that you're going to do by accident. This is something you're going to have to will yourself to do. This is something you're going to have to sit down and say, "Hey, self, this is going to hurt. This isn't going to feel good. This is going to be long and hard, but you're going to have to do this." Can I tell you something? When you're weak, you have the ability to let God show how strong he is through your weakness. God says, when you are at your weakest and I've got you loaded down, if you'll let me help you, I can show you how strong I am. Those of you that have been parents, you know what I'm talking about. Dads, you know what I'm talking about. You want your son to carry something. So what do? You put more on there than he can carry. And you're carrying about 90% of it, but you're giving him the credit for carrying all of it, even though you got the load, amen? You're teaching him that, boy, you're working hard, and you're grunting and groaning, and you're doing all this, and wow, look what God can, look what you can do, and you're trying to make him stronger by letting him carry a little heavier load. Can I tell you something? That little heavier load is what makes you stronger. And by the way, it makes you look pretty strong after you've learned how to carry that load. I got to laugh. My son Jeff decided he was going to try to beat me in golf. Well, everybody look this way. Well, he had taken a few lessons, and he was going to try to beat me. Well, I've been playing golf a long time. I haven't played much in a long time, but I've played for about 24, 25 years. So I know a little bit about it. And I did a little work on my game before I went there too, because I wasn't going to let him win without a fight, amen? I went to the driving range about a half a dozen times to get things worked out. We were there having a good time, and it was funny. I think we were at about the third hole. It was a little par three. He thought it said 150 yards, 149 yards. He pulled out a 7-iron, and he threw the ball about 20 yards past the pin. Turned out it was 119 yards. He looked at the wrong yardage. I clubbed down to 9-iron, and I put it 3 foot from the pin and birdied the hole. He said, "Stink, Dad." He said, "I should have looked." I said, "Mm-hmm. I'm using every advantage. No do-over. Amen." Now, wait a minute. It made me look strong. I beat him on most of the drives. Not all, but most of the drives. He said, "But Dad, you're old. How you doing this?" I said, "Shut up, kid." I said, "Because I knew you were going to say I was old. That's why." Now, wait a minute. Don't boast about the infirmity. Glory how God is using you and how God is using it. You know, you don't have to be all excited about the fact that you're sick or you have a problem or you have a heartache, but you can glory in the fact that God may be able to use that to help somebody else. You see, when Josh was just, 3 or 4 months old, he was in the hospital for 3 weeks on a ventilator. He had stopped breathing. He was in full respiratory arrest. They kept him alive with the machine for 3 weeks. We led doctors and nurses to the Lord. We had people saved. And I learned 24 years ago how to be patient with people and how to hurt with people in the hospital because God allowed us to go through a big heartache. We were 3,000 miles from the nearest family member anywhere in the country. We were going through this by ourselves, and God allowed me to know that helpless feeling. And I understand when your children are sick or when a family member is sick, and I understand it with personal pain, let me tell you. I've had a lot of hard days in the ministry. I've faced a lot of battles. I'll be honest with you. I don't want any more hard ones, just so you know. But as I talked with preachers this week, they said, "Brother Bush, how would you handle this?" Talked to an assistant pastor this week, and I kind of helped him through a problem. He said, "You make it sound so easy." He said, "Been through it. You can do it. Here's how you do it. You don't have to mess up. Here's how you're going to fix it." I said, "You're going to have to purpose yourself. But you can do this." I was able to take what was a pain in my life and keep it from being so bad for somebody else. And I was able to see God work through my infirmity to help somebody else. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to go through any more, but I'm glad I went through those so I can help somebody else. We need to glory, not complain. We're not supposed to complain about our problems. You know what I'm talking about. That person that you really don't want to ask how they're doing because they might tell you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You'll know everything about their personal medical records if you're not careful. You'll know every bodily function that is or is not working way too much. You know, TMI, too much information. And let me say this. Don't you complain to God that you have that infirmity. It's not God's fault. It's ours because we're sinners. Well, God could have kept me from it. God's keeping your soul out of hell. Why don't you be thankful for that? Maybe you have to go through a little suffering here, but guess what? Even if you die, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. It gets a whole lot better. This is as bad as it gets. You see, you have no right to get bitter over whatever problem or heartache or affliction that you might have. God gave it or allowed it so that he could show how strong he is. And may I say this, realize somebody else has it a whole lot worse than you have. I'm going to make a statement here. Listen carefully. Depression, discouragement, discontentment comes by looking at the infirmity and not glorying in it. You get discouraged, you get depressed when you start looking at the problem and not looking at what God can do with the problem. Everybody doing all right? We get discouraged because all we see is the problem or the pain or the heartache or the mess. God's saying, if you just look at me, I can take care of some of this for you. It doesn't mean all that's going away, but I'll go through it with you. You would not know the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had it not been the infirmity of the fiery furnace. You would not know Daniel had it not been for Babylon and the lion's den. You would not know Moses had it not been for the plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea and all of the 40 years in the wilderness with the Jews. Without those infirmities, those great people of the Bible were not great. The reason they became great is because they faced the infirmity. They went through the infirmity, and God didn't necessarily take the infirmity away. Boy, that's a good statement. I don't know about you. I don't like pain, especially when it's mine. I don't like pain. I don't like seeing anybody hurt. But may I say this, don't waste the hurt. If you're going to hurt, you might as well learn how to take that pain. And when somebody else is facing it, run to their side and say, here's how you get through it. You're going to make it. Here's how you get through it. Hey, that's one reason you put somebody who has survived cancer with somebody who's got cancer. You take that survivor and put it with somebody who's facing it, and they can relate to that person in a different way. They've made it all the way through, and they have the ability to encourage and strengthen and lift up and help somebody. And that part of the philosophy is good. Boy, that's good stuff. Why don't we take the pain we have and use it to help somebody else? By the way, it doesn't have to be the same pain. I've had some back pain in my life. Did you know I can tell when somebody's walking whether they're hurting? Say why? Because I've faced that pain before. I can tell when Brother Ron's neck is not cooperating right. Because I've had some neck pain. I'm not talking about a pain in the neck, but that's what I am, not what I have. You see, so many times we're focusing on the pain and not how we can help somebody else. So the first thing we have to do is we have to, on purpose, we have to take pleasure in infirmity and we have to take it by purpose. Number two, we glory in the infirmity, not complain about it. Oh, I thought once I got to be a Christian, all my problems were going to go away. I got saved and now my dog's sick and my cat threw up on my chair. And so you get rid of the cat and put the dog on the chair, amen? My hip hurts and my knee hurts and my joints are hurting and I got Arthur and I got this and I got that. And we're not going any farther with all the other pains. Amen. But we've got all these things we look at, but we don't realize we're still sucking air, able to take nourishment and able to help somebody. Sometimes it takes a little extra work to get it going, but we can get it going. I thank God I still have the health that I have. I mean that. I'm so glad that at age 48, I can still whip a 20-year-old on the golf course. I might hurt a little longer after than he did, but I still whooped him. Neither one of my boys challenged me at a wrestling match because I wouldn't do it, amen? Say why? Because I'm smart enough to know they're going to whoop me there. First hole, Jeff said, Dad, you've been working. I said, yeah, you took lessons. Well, that's not fair. I said, you cheated. Why shouldn't I? I said, I don't call it cheating. I call it being wise for both of us. I just didn't have to pay as much as you did. I said, that means I'm wiser and I'll beat you because I have a few things up my sleeve you don't know about. Oh, wait a minute. I enjoyed the pain. Jeff said, Dad, I got 2 free passes for golf. Maybe we can go tomorrow morning. I'm off. Well, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I was up, but there is no way I was going to go golf 18 more holes the way I felt the next morning. I texted him. I said, Jeff, the old man is done with golf for the week. There ain't no way. I'll do more damage than it's worth. I love you. If you want me to go and ride along, I'll do it. But I am not going out and swinging a golf club today. I'm going to hurt myself. He texted me back. Good. I don't feel like it either. Oh, wait a minute. I say that. We were glorying in the infirmity. It hurt, but it hurt good. We had fun. Now listen to me very carefully. Number 3, and I'll finish. Take pleasure in the infirmity to show how good God is. Show how good God is. I want you to notice verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. That means the weaker I get, the more strength God can show through me. Notice what we're to take pleasure in. God says infirmities, that's illness, disease, weakness of body and mind. He said reproach. Reproaches are insults or hurtful words. Necessity, that means need. In other words, there's more month than there is end of the paycheck. In persecution, that's being criticized for living right. In distress, that means stress. God said we're to take pleasure in all these things. You say, wow, illness, insults, hurtful words, need, criticized for being right, and stress. It doesn't make you feel real strong. No, you don't feel strong, but God can show His strength through you. I've been up since about 1:30 this morning. I got to bed about 11 last night, but I've been up since about 1:30, sick most of the night. I don't know. I think it was Brother Hawkins. He said, you're not feeling good, are you? I said, how do you know? He said, I can see it. I said, shut up, Brother Ed. I'm doing fine until you told me that. It's been a rough morning. Can I tell you something? God's showing His strength through my weakness. I don't feel like I'm clicking on all 8 cylinders. I think I got 3 or 4 of them misfiring right now. But can I tell you something? God is able to show His strength through my weakness. I want you to notice, God says take pleasure. The word pleasure means to think well of. The good of. A willingness. At 3:30 this morning, when I was probably at my sickest point, I wasn't saying, oh, praise God, I just feel wonderful that I'm sick. Now, I didn't throw up. Praise the Lord. But may I say this? I was there saying, oh God, about 7 hours I could preach. And I need you to show your strength. I don't care what it takes. I might have to take the mic with me and run out, but I'll preach. God is showing His strength through my weakness. Can I tell you something? God wants to show Himself strong. We had to leave our daughter at college. Thursday morning was not good. Josh had to go to college. Ruth Ann had to go to work. Jeff met us for breakfast. I couldn't eat. Brother Mike, I got up and it was going to be bad. I got through breakfast with him. We had to run to the store, get a couple things, exchange a few things. Got that done, dropped Jeff off. My wife and I had about an hour, hour and a half to ourselves. Went back to Josh and Ruth Ann's apartment. got through the door, shut the door, and I blubbered like a baby. I said, this is stupid. Well, when I started, she started. And because she started, I started again. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I said, honey, this is stupid. We raised her to do the will of God. She's doing it. Why are we crying? I don't know. I said, I don't either. I said, I got to get it out, because if I don't get it out now, it's going to be ugly when we say goodbye to her, let me tell you. And she doesn't need that. About 30 minutes, I had a good meltdown, amen. I was sitting there on the couch with my wife, and I looked up, and on their coffee table, they had a picture of them at their wedding, several of them. Both of them, after they had gotten hitched, sitting there with a grin like a Cheshire cat's on their face. Happy as could be. And the Holy Spirit says, isn't that what you want for your kids? Right. Yeah, but not this way. I said, honey, it's going to be okay. I went, finally got my composure back, went, washed my eyes, said, we got 20 minutes before we got to leave to go see her. Let's get ourselves pulled together here. I barely cried when we walked away. I got it all out ahead of time, amen. My wife didn't fare quite as well, but close. But may I say this? We found pleasure in it. Pleasure in knowing she's doing right. She is a stinker, let me tell you. My daughter has way too much of me in her. Amen. She walked into a room full of 80 freshmen. They were supposed to be at there at 8:15. She got there about between 8 and 8:05. Her and her friend. She said, Dad, I walked in and there was nobody talking. She said, it was like you could hear a pin drop on the carpet. She said, so I looked at my friend and said, Elizabeth, I didn't think this was the library. Nobody's talking. She said, all of a sudden, 80 people started laughing and going like this. She said, Dr. Jorgensen walked in. She said, I wasn't done talking, so I kept talking. He walked in, looked at his watch, put a few things down, said, this will be the last time 80 freshmen are 10 minutes early to a meeting. Turned around, walked out. She said, Dad, I don't know why everybody stopped talking. It was just Dr. Jorgensen. Thinking, she's my daughter, way too much. Wait a minute. I couldn't help it. I was laughing. She made me laugh about it. Now, wait a minute. We have found pleasure in what she's doing. I looked at my wife. I said, 3 John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I said, any empty house is worth our children walking in truth. I said, doggone it, tens of millions and billions of people have gone through this. We're going to live through it. We might not be able to see too far, but we're going to get there. I've already got plans. I'm moving things out of closets, rearranging things. We're going to have some room. We're going to have some fun. I've already got some fun planned. Now, it's been 24 years since we've had a house just her and I together. Hey, guess what? I got the next 24 at least with her if the Lord doesn't come back, and we're going to have fun. Amen? Wait a minute. Don't spend time around negative, critical people or things that influence you negatively. Say, how do you take pleasure in infirmity? Quit hanging around people that drop you down. Quit hanging around information that pulls you down. Quit hanging around critical and negative information. I'm talking about quit listening to about 99.9% of the news. Folks, if you listen to the news, we're all going to die of AIDS. We all have to be sodomites. We're going to have Hillary as president. And we're going to, and if you make it outside, you're going to get murdered. That's the news. Y'all know what I'm talking about? why do we listen to so many things that depress us? Some of the things you watch on television don't build you. They destroy everything you have. Those of you that have fear of walking the streets at night, quit watching all the stupid cop shows and murder shows. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you get depressed, freaked out. My daughter was the one that locked all the doors in the house. It was funny. Thursday night, we got to bed, laying there. 15 minutes later, my wife said, "Did you lock the door?" I said, "No, did you?" She said, "No, that's Mindy's job." I said, "I'll get up." So I locked the door. The next night, I remembered to lock the front door. She remembered to lock the back door when she let the dog back in. I laid down. I said, "I grilled tonight. Did you lock the kitchen door?" "No, did you?" "No." So I had to get back up again. We're going to get this thing down one day or another, amen? Now, my daughter, she couldn't walk by a door without locking it, day or night. I mean, it was like Fort Knox. You know, some of you live, if that's you, you know, if you're afraid of storms, don't watch the storm chaser shows. You know, don't watch the tornado warnings. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, some of you thrive on negative news and wonder why you're depressed all the time or angry all the time. I'm talking about watch what music you listen to. If you listen to the world's music, it will depress you, make you want to kill somebody or something. The world has nothing decent or good to say about anything, and the vehicle on which it's transported is even worse. I'm talking about the books you read. Be careful what books you read. You know, there are some books that make me a little bit more on edge, and if I'm already edgy, I'm going to put it aside and not read it. I choose what influences me. That book doesn't put me on edge. I choose what influences me. I know what it takes to encourage me. Right now, we're doing lots of things to encourage ourselves. Assistant pastor friend of mine up in Wisconsin, I said, "Pray for my wife and I. We got the empty nest syndrome." He said, "When Karen and I went through that," he said, "chocolate and pizza does wonders, Brother Bush." I showed the wife to my text. She said, you going to the store or am I? And we just started laughing. Can I tell you something? It's fun. We're planning extra things. Say why? Because there's a void there, and we've got to schedule it. The busier we are, the better off we are. We don't have time to think about it unless I talk about it. Amen? Can I tell you something? Look at the infirmity and see how God can use it. I'll finish with this story. I'll make just a statement after that, and I'll be done. We were at the college on Tuesday to move my daughter, Wednesday, one of those days, Wednesday, to move her in. While we were there, I looked down and I saw a man. His name is Steve Fisher. Amen. Steve and I were ordained the same night. We went to Bible college together. And Dr. Fisher and I were friends throughout college. Steve and Wanda's 16-year-old daughter just a few months ago had a grand mal seizure. Looked almost as though she had been paralyzed, lost the use of one of her arms, and she was dragging her leg, and face was all drawn, and she's had many seizures since, and she's doing better. I walked up to see Steve, and I said, "Steve, I love you, and I'm praying for you." I said, "Steve, let me share something with you." I introduced him to my daughter. I said, "She's had petit mal seizures since she was just tiny." I said, "Steve, do you have a good doctor?" He said, "I think we finally found somebody that's going to help her." I said, "If not," I said, "I just scheduled an appointment for my daughter yesterday." I said, we've got an appointment at Hopkins in December. It's her last appointment there, but we found a doctor here. I just emailed the chief of pediatric neurology at Johns Hopkins, and in less than 30 minutes, he emailed me back with all the information that was correct and needed and was very energetic about this doctor. I said, "You let me know." I pulled my phone out. I said, "I can email him right now and say he needs to see you, and I'll get you in." I said, "If that's what you need, you let me know." Tears falling down his face. I said, I'm not kidding, Steve. I said, I can get you in. He said, I appreciate it, Brother Bush, and if I need it, I'll let you know. I said, my wife and I understand a little of what you're going through. Can I tell you something? I don't want my daughter to have any more seizures. But if it was there to help comfort somebody, it's worth it. Thank God for Joe and Leanne Lopez. Joe had bad seizures for years, and boy, when we faced it with Mindy, they were there to help us. They took Joe's seizure problem to help us when we felt weak. Huh. Take pleasure in infirmity to see what God can do, not what you can do. Use it to help somebody. Can I tell you something? You need to get saved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll die and go to hell. I hate saying that. That bothers me to say that. But it has the same price. Sin has the same price on you as it had on the devil. God didn't change that because it's the same sin. And if God changed it for man, God wouldn't be just. But God provided Jesus Christ for you. He did not provide Jesus Christ for the devil and his angels. God loved you more than he loved the angels and Lucifer himself. God made a way for you to know for sure you're going to heaven. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? That's the first thing you need to do in order to glory and have pleasure in your infirmity. There will be no pleasure in hell. Number two, if you're saved and you've never been baptized, you need to obey the Lord in your baptism. Number three, if you need to join this church, time to jump in and grab a hold and be a part of this church. And number four, some of you are facing some infirmity. And you need to decide today that you're going to find the pleasure in that infirmity. I'm not saying you're going to have jump up and jump down happiness. It doesn't say happiness, it says pleasure. It doesn't say that you're going to be joyous, it says that you'll have pleasure. You'll find good in the bad. You'll find positive in the negative. You'll find something that will make you stronger as you're weak. And God can use it to help an awful lot of other people. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in mine infirmities. Told you, I was preaching to me today. I need it. I kind of suspect you do too. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. There were hands that could not or did not go up. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. Somebody else? Who'd say, preacher, I've been saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But since I've been saved, I've not been baptized. And I need to take care of that today. Would you raise your hand? God bless you and you. All right. Who'd say, preacher, I have an infirmity. One of those things you said today, there's something in my life and I just need to grab hold to it. And I needed that truth in my life today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands.